Good morning, everyone. Please take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 15. And as you're turning there, just want to recognize all of you as already you are Olympic gold medal winners and that you made it through the luge run here to be here worshiping this morning. So congratulations on that. But we're in Genesis 15 as we continue our survey through the book of Genesis. And this is a keystone passage. This is a very, very important passage we'll be looking at this morning. So here we go. Let's just take a look and just hear God's word as I read it, starting in verse 1 of Genesis 15 through the end of the chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possession. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. May the Lord add his blessing, the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Have you ever doubted God? I know I have. We doubt him in all kinds of ways, don't we, from time to time? We wonder if what he said is really true. We wonder if he knows what we are going through. In our service to him, we wonder if he notices our huge sacrifice for him, when in reality, our little meager sacrifice is nothing compared to what he's already done for us. Perhaps you've heard of George Mueller. He lived from 1805 to 1898. He was a Christian missionary evangelist and a coordinator of orphanages in Bristol, England. He had five. Through his faith and prayers and without asking for money, he had the privilege of caring for over 120,000 orphan children. He also traveled over 200,000 miles by ship to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in 42 countries and to challenge believers about world missions and trusting God. In his journals, Mueller recorded miracle after miracle of God's provision and answered prayer. And one morning at the orphanage, All the plates and cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder and no money to buy food. The children were standing waiting for their morning meal when Mueller said, "Children, you know we must be in time for school." But there's no food on the table. There's no provision. What was he going to do? Where was the food going to come from? How could it come down to this, that there's just no food left in the pantry to feed all these children? From a worldly perspective, this just looks like a disaster, horrible planning. We all wrestle in our faith, don't we? We all wrestle with doubts. We all wrestle with trusting God. But the reality is, where there is doubt, there is skepticism, weakness, and hesitation. But as we'll see today, in His presence, there is truth, comfort, protection, and reward. We'll see in our study that we are enlightened by His Word, and we're justified by our faith, and ultimately saved through His sacrifice for us. We've gone back to the beginning here in the book of Genesis. In chapter 12, we saw the division between primeval history and patriarchal history. And we're reminded by way of Genesis 3:15 that there was a promised seed, a child, a descendant from Adam and Eve who would come, the promised one that would come to destroy evil once and for all. And this seed line, these generations have been under attack as we've studied throughout Genesis. And now here in chapter 15, we see that the seed line is in jeopardy as Abram and Sarai are getting older and there's still no child. So here in 15, we see Abram wrestling with his own doubts about God's provision, as we all do, as George Mueller did. It's clear that Abram is anxious about the proximity of God's promises. God, when will you come through? God, when will you make the difference? I trust you, God, but I can't wait much longer, we say. We need to remember that it's okay to ask God questions, but we all need to be prepared for the answers, don't we? Here, in an incredible move, it is God who now swears that He indeed will keep His promise to Abram. God promises to preserve Abram and Sarai for His purposes. God reminds Abram of His overall promise to all of humanity through Abram, and then swears His commitment to Abram to fulfill all that He's promised. Throughout our study, keep looking for this one word, offspring. In Hebrew, the word is sarah. The word is seed. Over and over again, God keeps talking about the seed of Abram, the offspring of Abram that is to come. The reality is that all of us wrestle with doubt from time to time as we look to this offspring, this promised one. And let's find encouragement today as we see how God encourages Abram's heart in the midst of promises that are yet to be fulfilled. So this morning, I have five truths for you. But let's ask His help as we study. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the power of Your Word. And Lord, as we seek Your truth, we ask that You would teach us this morning, that You'd open Your truth to our hearts and our minds, that we might not just see it physically or hear it audibly, but that we might receive it spiritually by Your hand, by Your grace. Be our teacher, we ask. We long to hear from You this day. Thank You for this opportunity, Lord. Help us not to miss anything that You have for us. We pray this in Your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. The first truth, if you have your sermon notes outline, is simply this. God will most certainly bless those who are His. God will bless those who belong to Him, those who are His. In verse 1 of 15, notice what it says, after these things. And of course, when I see that, I'm going to go, what things? What things are we talking about? Well, after Abram had rescued Lot, and after Abram chose the blessings of God through Melchizedek instead of the supposed blessing from the king of Sodom that we studied a few weeks ago in chapter 14. But it's after these things that we see that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. God will bless those who are His. And first of all here, He will bless us with His word. those who belong to God, he promises to bless us with his word. So the word of the Lord comes to Abram here in a vision. In that the word of God comes to Abram, we see that Abram is truly a prophet of God. In the Old Testament, we see how God's word comes to people in different ways. Visions, dreams, prophets, preachers. Throughout all of Scripture and throughout all of creation, God is speaking to us through what has been made, we're told in Romans 1. His word to us, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, are his revelation to us about who he is and what he has done. Not only has God given us his written word, but he's also given us his living word through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, the Christos, God's ultimate revelation of himself to us. John 1:14 reads this way, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus, and we've seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. As we have access to Christ, we have access to the very word of God, and now the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision. Secondly here, it is God who dispels our fears. He will bless those who are his. He blesses us with his word, and he dispels our fears. Notice what God says to Abram, fear not, Abram. Fear. We all wrestle with being afraid. I know some of you might say, well, I'm just concerned. Yeah, well, maybe behind the concern, there might even be some fear. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? It's when we come to that place where we understand that God is our light. He is the one who saves. He is my stronghold. When I finally realize that in my own life, my own heart, the fear passes away. Matter of fact, John writes in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Why? Because perfect love cast out fear. If we all understood to what degree we have been loved perfectly by God, there'd be nothing to fear because his perfect love casts out our fear. He has us. Nothing can separate us from his love. He'll never leave us or forsake us, and we can rest in that. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. And then he adds this, I am your shield. Thirdly here, we see that he'll protect us, won't he? He'll protect us. He'll bless us with his word. He'll dispel our fear, and he'll protect us. I am your shield. In Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. See these references to God doesn't move. He's a rock. He's a fortress. He's a stronghold. He is our shield. And oftentimes we think of how difficult things are for us, and we forget that things really could be much worse. But here it is, God who protects us right here, right now, and he's protecting you. No matter what you're going through right now, he's actually protecting you for something even worse. Isn't that amazing? I have to remind you that we all made it here today, didn't we? Yeah, we're all here, and he's protected you to even be here this morning. And fourthly, we see here in this passage that God is our reward. He will be our reward. He will bless us with his word. He'll dispel our fear. He will protect us, and he is our reward. He will be our reward. Your reward shall be great, very great, he says. God says to Abraham, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. We're reminded throughout all of Scripture, like Numbers 18:20, and the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. Here we have Aaron, the high priest, a part of the Levite tribe, and they weren't going to get a land and have it like the other tribes. But here God says this to Aaron. He says, I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. I'm the reward. I'm what you need, God says to Aaron. In Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail, the psalmist writes, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is sufficient. He is enough. He is the reward. And Paul writes this in Philippians 3, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. You see, for Paul, that's all that's enough. I just need Christ to be found in him. Everything else is garbage compared to him. Here we see that God himself is the rewarder and the reward itself. God is in the business of blessing all those who belong to him. Have you put your faith and trust in him this morning? If you belong to him through faith, he will bless you with his word. He'll dispel your fear. He'll protect you as a shield, and he'll be your reward. Secondly, this morning, even with all this blessing, even when we're blessed, sometimes we still doubt God, right? This is an incredible blessing, but sometimes we still doubt. We struggle. Sometimes we doubt God's intentions, don't we? This is what happens in verse 2. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continued childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. What will you give me? What are you going to do, God? We ask similar questions, don't we? What are you doing? I don't get it. You say this, but then that happens. Do you really love me, God? Do you really care? Here we are questioning God's integrity in relationship to his promises. What are you intending to do with me in the midst of my circumstance? Secondly, not only do we doubt his intentions, sometimes we doubt God's ability, don't we? Notice what he said, for I continued childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. How can you do it? Abram says, how can I have a son now? I'm so old. We all have these questions. God, how are you going to change the circumstance? How can you provide a career for me? How can you heal me? How can you reconcile my marriage? How can you protect my children or my friend? How will I be able to provide for my family? I remember years ago, when Kathy and I were looking to go into full-time ministry, these are some of the questions I had. Okay, God, if I do this, if I go into full-time ministry and I, you know, choose to be broke, you know, how are you going to take care of us? And I'll never forget in our church plant, where I'm working like three jobs to make a go of it, one of our congregants came up after the service one Sunday and said, hey, and he was a dentist. He goes, hey, I just want you to know we're going to provide for all the dental care for all your kids. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? I guess that's how you're going to do it. And one of our parishioners gave us a car one time. Just, hey, I've got a new company car. I don't need our car. Would you like a car? I'm like, huh? Can you say that again slower? And God took care of us. And he always has. He's always brought about the provision that we've needed. Even when we are blessed, sometimes we still doubt God. We doubt God's intentions. We doubt God's ability. How are you going to do it? Thirdly, sometimes we doubt God's timing. This is where Abram is. In verse 3, and Abram said, behold, you give me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. When will you do it? When are you going to move, God? If you don't do something soon, I'm going to have to give everything to a mere steward of my house. You better hurry up. I'm running out of time. I can't go on anymore. I can't continue to live this way unless you intervene somehow. Have you been there? Even when we are so blessed, we are so fickle, and we doubt God. We doubt his intentions, his ability, his timing. Thirdly here, God's word has the power to remove all of our doubt. His word has all the power to remove all of our doubt because it's his word. And this happens as we seek his word, right? And behold, it says again in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, came to Abram. All of our answers can be found in God's word. They are all in his book. If we're willing to turn there and to hear from him and trust him in it as we seek his word, his and secondly, as we hold on to his promises here, notice what God says, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. There it is. There, Zarah, the seed, your seed, someone from you, from your flesh will come. Your offspring is going to be numbered as many as the stars. We need to hold on to his promises. And by the way, the book is full of all kinds of promises For me, I've done everything I can to trust him at his word with what he's promised, and he's always come through in ways beyond what I've ever imagined. God's word has the power to remove all of our doubt as we seek his word, as we hold on to his promises, and thirdly, as we believe all that he has said. And notice what it says in verse 6. And he, that is Abram, and Abram believed the Lord. Pretty straightforward. God said, this is what I'm going to do. Abram says, I believe you. Do we believe God? Do we really believe what he has said? God hasn't promised you a job, but he has promised you his provision. God hasn't promised you a spouse, but he has promised you his presence. God hasn't promised you that there would be no conflict, but he has promised you his peace in the midst of conflict. God hasn't promised you perfect health, but he has promised you eternity with him. Do you believe this? Do you trust him? Will you wait on him, seeking after his word, holding on to his promises, and believing all that he has said? God's word has the power to remove all of our doubt as we rest in him and his word. Fourthly here, we are justified through faith. Did you see this? In verse 6 it says, and he believed the Lord. And he, that is God, counted it to him, Abram, as righteousness. And he counted it to him as righteousness. Abram believes and boom, stamp. Boom, you are righteous. Just through believing, you are a righteous man, Abram, for believing me. And we see this first notion of justification by faith put forward in the text. And God continues in verse 7, and he says to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Just in case you weren't sure who you were believing in, I'm the one. And this is amazing. The first mention of being justified by faith in all of God's word. And Paul picks up on this in Romans 3:28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Justified by faith. Notice how it is that Abram has done nothing. He has simply believed and God has said, boom, you are righteous. Paul writes further in Romans 4, verse 1, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, right? So Abraham's not justified by works, is he? No, he's justified by faith. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. See, if it was all about our works before God, then God owes us something. But the reality is, we don't have enough in our account. I don't. I don't have enough in my righteous account to make the difference. I can't do it long enough, right enough, to impress him. He is holy, holy, holy. So any righteousness I have has to come from him, not by anything I do. So it's not by works. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes, that's us, who believe in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Jesus himself said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, whoever has faith in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. We need to believe God with what he has said. We need to place our faith in Christ, who is the essence of the ultimate promised seed that God's promise to Abram refers to in this very passage. Jesus is the culmination that all of this in Genesis 15 points to, the once and for all seed. And now we come to verse 8 and our fifth truth. Don't miss this. God has demonstrated his commitment to us through Christ. You go, well, where'd you get that out of the passage? Look at verse 8. Notice what it says. But he, Abram, said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Now, wait a minute. I thought we just heard that he believed him. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Everything's great. And now Abram said, well, excuse me, pardon me. How can I know that this is the way? Is he like doubting God somehow here? I don't think so. So let's go out in our crowd here. We need somebody. Cornell, come here. Come here, buddy. You're my man. Let's see how this works. So let's say Cornell, here he is. Look, isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome? All right. Always awesome. So here's Cornell. And let's say Cornell's got a car for sale. He's got out in front of his house there with a big for sale sign on it. And you got a really nice car. You're selling me there's a car out there, right?
Yeah.
And I drive by, I see your sign, I stop by and go, Cornell, your car's for sale, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, and I'd like to buy it.
Let's make a deal.
All right. I'm going to buy your car.
Okay.
No, really, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. I'm buying it, right? I'm going to buy your car.
Okay.
No, really, I'm going to buy your car. Don't you believe me?
Yeah, show me that way.
Oh. See, he believes, but he doesn't know. Not until I say, well, tell you what, here's a deposit. Okay, and let me sign this thing that says I'll be back. I'm going to cut this paper with the ink, the fluid of my pen, saying I really mean this. And I got a guarantee now with the legal document that I'm signing saying I'm buying your car. I'll be back to pick it up later. Okay?
Great.
Great. Have a great day. See how that works? Before he could believe me, right? But until we had a transaction, then he could know. There's a difference between believing something and knowing something. And so Abram believes God. I believe what you're going to do, but how can I know? And I love this about God. Here's what's so awesome about God. You ready? God doesn't go, I can't believe you're asking that. He goes, oh, you want to know? Well, all right, let's go. Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Okay, all right, I'll get all that stuff. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. They're probably too small, right? And I love how real this is. Do you see how real this is? I mean, this is a mess. This is like a butcher shop. I mean, big critters cut in two. It's a mess. It's such a mess that the birds of prey came down on the carcass, and here's Abraham. Hey, get out of here. We're trying to do business here. This is a real event. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, I love this. Know for certain that your offspring, your child, your seed, will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. Talking about Egypt, right? The Israelites ended up in Egypt, right? But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Watch this. And when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, this is a verse you should put on your refrigerator. Behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a berith, Hebrew, berith. He made a berith. What does berith mean? A cutting. God made a cutting with humanity. He made a covenant, a deal with all of humanity. Saying, to your offspring, to your seed, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, and so on. How am I to know? Know for certain. God cuts a deal with humanity. Do you see why this passage is so important? It's from this passage that all of the Bible rests on. If God does not cut this agreement with all of humanity through Abram's seed, there is no Christ, there is no redemption, it's over. So God shows up. It's a smoking fire pot and flaming torch passing between the pieces, in essence saying, may I be cut asunder as these pieces are if I don't follow through with what I've said. Here in Genesis 15, God shows up and demonstrates his commitment to Abram and his descendants and literally cut a deal with all of mankind. And by the way, God also showed up a second time in the person of Jesus Christ, the once and for all sacrifice, the once and for all one cut in two, a once and for all berith, a cutting that this cutting with Moses points to, the new covenant in Christ's blood and his body, as we will celebrate in just a moment. He was cut asunder for our sins, God in the flesh, laying down his life for all of us so that we might live through faith in him to the degree that our faith would be attributed as righteousness. And God has demonstrated his commitment to us through Christ, and God comes through and saves the day. Well, did the school children, the orphanage children ever get their breakfast? Children, you know we must be in time for school, George Mueller said. Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, dear Father, we thank you for what thou art going to give us to eat. He's praying, thank you, Lord, for the food, and there is no food. There was a knock at the door. And the baker stood there and said, Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it. Mr. Mueller thanked the baker, and no sooner had he left than there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that somehow, miraculously, his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. And he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagons so it could be repaired. God has ways of coming through in ways we never anticipated or expected. But will we trust him? Will we believe him? Will we take him at his word? Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And I ask you, do you believe God? Do you need to give your doubt to Christ today? Where are you seeking your answers? God has gone on record with you. Have you gone on record with him regarding this? Where there is doubt, there is skepticism, weakness, and hesitation. But in his presence, there's truth, there's comfort, protection, and reward. And by God's grace, we've been enlightened by his very word, justified by our faith, and saved through his once and for all sacrifice for us.